beautiful. Try not to trip over these wires. That was great. Before we go any further, let's introduce ourselves, or yourselves, please. Because you are a string ensemble, but you are playing instruments that are not what modern audiences might recognize.
That's true.
So, Toma.
Hi, my name is Toma Iliev. I play the baroque violin with Sonnambula. There are a few main differences between the baroque and the modern violin. First of all, there's no chin rest. We don't really use shoulder rests either. And we play on gut strings. Our bow's a little bit different as well. That's pretty much the main differences.
And Jude?
My name's Jude Ziliak.
Grab the mic, please?
That would be a good idea.
My name's Jude Ziliak. I also play the baroque violin with Sonnambula.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Weinfield. I play mostly tenor viol, occasionally bass viol, and I direct Sonnambula.
And what, when you say viol?
Yes, viol. There are many different ways of describing these instruments. The full word is viola da gamba. Viola is an Italian word that means string instrument, essentially. And gamba means leg in Italian. So it's the string instrument of the leg. Sometimes we call it viola da gamba by its full name. Sometimes we say viol, and sometimes we say gamba.
And it looks as if it was the ancestor of the cello.
Yes, it does. A lot of people say, oh, it looks like an old cello, but it's actually quite different, and I think my colleague Amy will tell us a little bit about that.
Hi, my name's Amy Dominguez, and I'm playing the tenor viol. The viola da gamba family of instruments coexisted with the violin family of instruments from the beginning of the 1500s to the end of the 18th century. The main differences are that the viola da gamba has six strings and frets, and it's played with an underhand bow grip. But these instruments are much softer than the violin family, so the reason they kind of fell out of circulation was because at the end of the 18th century, with the rise of opera and public concerts and large concert halls, the sound of the viola da gamba could not really carry. So composers gradually stopped writing for the instrument. And so the ideal setting is in a chamber music, small halls.
Or a radio studio.
Yes.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for having us. My name is Shirley Hunt, and I play the bass viola da gamba, or the bass viol. And this is the lowest and largest member of the viol family that you will hear within the context of Sonnambula. So I hold down the fort on the low end when we play together.
That's great. Now, Elizabeth, you're also the artistic director of Sonnambula. Why was Sonnambula formed?
A few of us got together a number of years ago. Amy will remember that day very well. And we delved into repertoire we'd never heard of before, played a lot before, and we wanted to play as much as we could. So much of the repertoire we play is so beautiful, and the fact that it's not very well known is very exciting. So soon after, Shirley joined along, Jude, Toma, and our keyboardist James, who's unfortunately not here with us today, and we just kept going.
And your next piece illustrates this kind of repertoire that you've found.
Yeah, so we're about to play a couple of pieces by the 17th century composer Leonora Duarte. Duarte does not sound like a name from the Low Countries. She was born in Antwerp, but indeed her family was Portuguese, or of Portuguese descent. She was a converso, which means that her family were originally Jewish, but they converted, as so many people did, to Catholicism by threat of death upon exile. Born into, on paper at least, a Catholic family, a very well-to-do mercantile family. They were jewel merchants and art collectors. And she clearly had access to a tremendous education, and we have this document left from her. She's left seven brief sinfonia. We've just recorded them, actually. The CD will come out on June 7th of this year. And we'll play now two pieces of hers for you.
If you're just joining us, we are live in the WRTI Performance Studio with Sonambula, a historically informed ensemble that brings to light music that hasn't been heard for centuries. And the first piece we heard, Jude, was a dance piece. And the second piece we just heard was by Leonora Duarte. So tell us a little bit about that first piece.
The first piece was a dance. The form of the dance is called the bourré, which is a sort of rural stomping dance from the Auvergne region of France. And we're going to play that bourré along with a number of others in our program with Pifero this week. This particular bourré is quite famous because it was played and danced at both the birth celebrations and the wedding celebrations of Louis XIII of France. So the music was preserved at the French royal court for a long time, but it also traveled to Germany, and it shows up in the collection Terpsichore, which we're playing dances from with Pifero this week in Philadelphia.
Wow. And Elizabeth, the music of Leonora Duarte, where would that have been played?
That's a great question. Likely in the Duarte's living room, or in their Kunstkammer, their collection of art and objects and musical daughters and sons. It was a domestic music. She, as a Jew or converso, and a woman, probably more importantly for the history, because Antwerp was in some ways quite open. She could not work at church or at court, and so her musical education was on display at home. And the Duarte had a number of well-to-do visitors and important diplomats and even royalty come into their home to hear specifically Leonora and her siblings play music. So it actually probably had quite a wide listenership at the time. The score winds up at Christ Church College Library at Oxford about 100 years after her death, and I'm investigating why right now. We don't really know why, but the score was published in the late 90s and recorded in 2016, released this year by us.
Great. So we just heard Sinfonia, is that Sinfonia?
Sinfonia.
Sinfonia number 4. And we're about to hear Sinfonia number 5. What does Sinfonia refer to?
It's an earlier term for symphony, which in the classical period is a piece with multiple movements of contrasting nature. And in Leonora Duarte's hand, it resembles really an English fantasia still. However, the contrasting sections, which we can sort of compare to contrasting movements in later music, do exist even in this very short form,
as you'll hear.
Great.
Thank you.
Beautiful. That was Sinfonia No. 5 by Leonora Duarte, played by Sonambula, live in the WRTI Performance Studio. Let's talk about your concert with Pifaro now. The Pifaro program, I understand, is dance music, which just goes to show that early music, just like the music today, had a range of moods and styles. Yes. So, Elizabeth, or anyone, tell us about the next piece.
Well, we're playing a selection of dances from a collection called Terpsichore by Praetorius, and likely some contemporaries. Pass it on to Jude. I think Jude's going to talk a little bit about all the different kinds of dances we're going to play.
Sure.
In addition to the boree.
So Terpsichore is this collection of dance tunes that essentially Michael Praetorius, German composer in the early 17th century, got from some French colleagues and wrote harmonies for. Almost none of the melodies are by him, but he wrote a lot of music that's in it nevertheless, just the lower voices, basically. It's a pretty encyclopedic collection of different dance types. The second piece we're going to play right now is a pavana, which means a dance from Padua, which is basically a kind of walking dance, followed by a fast rustic dance called a galliard or gagliarda, which is Italian for robust. Before that, we'll play an almain, which is an English, it means German, oddly enough, but this particular one is English, and it's a very straightforward, very sturdy kind of dance, but it was done at court, so it's got a sort of sturdy rusticity about it, but it's kind of ennobled by beautiful contrapuntal writing by this composer, Alfonso Ferrabasco II, who, despite his name, was English.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
That was fun. And I was thinking of trying to dance to that, but I'm not quite sure what steps I would do. But it's beautiful music. And if you're just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio with Sonambula. They've been giving us highlights of their upcoming concert with Pifaro, the Renaissance Band, as well as selections from their new CD, The Complete Works of Leonora Duarte, which will be released June 7th. So the concerts with Pifaro are Dancer's Delight. They take place on Friday, March 15th at 7:30 at the Philadelphia Episcopal Cathedral, Saturday, March 16th at 7:30 at the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill, and Sunday, March 17th at 3 p.m. at Christ Church Christiana 100 in Wilmington. So thank you so much for coming in to share your music with us. I noticed before that last piece, you tuned. Is that sort of an occupation hazard when you have these kinds of instruments?
Yes, alas. And all the early music fans out there will be chuckling along with us at that question. Unfortunately, gut strings are very unstable, and because of the weather, especially in the winter when we're going from warm interiors to cold exteriors and humid interiors to dry exteriors, the gut doesn't always like that, although I have to say we're sounding pretty stable today. It's been a lot worse.
Well, I noticed that you all come from somewhere different. You're based in New York, but Amy came from Washington. Somebody came from Boston.
Shirley
came from Boston, and the three of you came from New York. This must be something you're passionate about because you do all sorts of other things. What drives your passion to play this kind of music?
I'll jump in and answer that one. The opportunity to play great music with great people over a long period of time, I think, is what we all wish for the most as professional musicians. And not every opportunity we have gives us that. But I will definitely say that performing with Sonambula has given me that. Great music, great people, great audiences, great radio stations.
Well, the music is beautiful, and it's really exciting to hear this repertoire, and it's exciting to think that it's new music to us. And I have just, before we end, I'd like to make one more comment about Amy's instrument. There's a little face on the top of it.
One of the things that is notable about the viola da gamba, and also with some violin family instruments from this time period, the 16th through the 18th centuries, when wealthy people, or actually, well, middle class people too, would commission these instruments from luthiers, which that's the term we use for instrument builders, sometimes they would have mythical creatures, or sometimes the head would be modeled on the person who commissioned the instrument. So it's also very beautiful in addition to being decorative, but sometimes can have other meanings to it.
So do you know who that person is at the top of your instrument?
This is a copy of an instrument that was made by Edward Blunt in 1610. And the original is in the Ashmolean Museum, and there's also one in the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. I'm not quite sure. It could be a case of it it's modeled after the person who was buying the instrument.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, you have one more piece for us. This is also a dance.
Yes.
So, let's hear it. thank you so much to the members of Sonambula for coming into the WRTI Performance Studio and sharing your music with us. Good luck with your concerts with Pifaro this coming weekend, and the release of your new CD. And thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.